James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. The first chapter of the letter of James. Beginning at verse 21. This is God's holy and inspired word, breathed out by the Spirit. Let us hear what he says to his church. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, "You sit here in a good place," and say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit here at my footstool," have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And then James chapter 3 verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So far the reading of God's word. May He bless it to our hearing, that He might grant to us more of His wisdom and more faith to trust Him and do His will. The text for the sermon this morning is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's truth must produce godly fruit. The Bible says that a tree that does not produce anything is a dead tree. Similarly, a person who does not obey what God has commanded is spiritually dead. He does not have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still dead in his trespasses and sins. That is what the Apostle James tells us in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14. We read there, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And then James writes in verse 20 of James chapter 2, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" In verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And in James chapter 3, verse 13, he writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel is not simply to make peace people profess faith in Jesus Christ, but also to make them observe all that Jesus Christ has commanded in His Word. James writes in chapter 1 of his letter, verse 22, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And in verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," that is the Bible, "and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "I do not want people who will merely mouth a few words. I want people who will be followers of me." That is your goal as a church, to make disciples of people in all the nations. Not membership expansion, not church growth, but disciples of Jesus Christ. I want you to make disciples. A disciple is someone who learns all that Jesus Christ has taught in the Scriptures, and who does it, who is a doer of God's Word. Oswald Chambers said our Lord Jesus Christ had only one desire, and that was to do the will of His Father in heaven. A disciple of Jesus Christ has the desire to do the will of God, just as Jesus Christ desires to do the will of God and does the will of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, "Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." And earlier Jesus said, "My ears you have opened." Why? "So that I might hear your word and do it," or observe it. The Lord said through the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed," or to hearken, "is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion," that is refusing to obey, "is as the sin of witchcraft." That is, both are an abomination to God. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry," worshiping a false god. "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord," that is, because you, King Saul, "have refused to obey what I commanded you, to kill every man, woman, and child, and all the animals of the country of Amalek, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also," that is God, "has rejected you from being king." In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus Christ is saying, "I want people who are consumed with the desire to do the will of my Father in heaven, just like I am consumed with the desire to do the will of my Heavenly Father." God's disciples have a vision for God's kingdom, that His will might be done here on earth as it is in heaven. They want to see the church and kingdom of God built up and strengthened. They want to see the glory of God increased here among sinful men. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, there is one command, and there are three participles that modify that command. The one command is, make disciples of all the nations. The three participles that modify that are going, baptizing, and teaching. Going, baptizing, and teaching are how we make disciples of all the nations. The command is what Jesus Christ wants His church and you and me to do until He returns in the flesh. We are to go, we are to baptize, and to teach, that there may be disciples who learn and obey all that Christ has commanded in all the nations. The Great Commission sets forth these three things as God's way of making disciples of all the nations. We must go to all the peoples and the nations that are around us throughout the world, including those right here where we live. We must make people members of the visible church through baptism with water into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we must teach them everything that Jesus Christ taught in His Word and commanded in the Bible. The consequences of man's sin affect everything in the whole creation. The war against sin, therefore, must be total. In our text, Jesus Christ commands us to plant our feet on all things and to claim them for Him. Christ commands us to place all things under the ministrations and the requirements of the Word of God. The Great Commission does not command us to spend our days mourning over our past sins and what we once were apart from Jesus Christ, but rather it commands us to go forth in the power of Christ as those who have been made new creatures in Christ, commanding all nations of the world by teaching them to observe, that is, to learn and to do all that our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded, and to baptize them as a sign and seal of God's covenant of grace in which He promises to make His people a new creation. Jesus Christ came to this earth in the name of His Father in heaven to make known the Father to us. Christ sends us forth in the name of the Triune God to make known the Triune God to all the nations and all the peoples of the world. In the Great Commission, Christ commands us to live our lives in obedience to God's command to man at creation, to rule over the creation with true knowledge and with true righteousness and with true holiness unto the glory of God. There are so many people around us today who view their life, who view their property, and who view the various vocations that God gives them only in personal terms or only in economic terms, in terms of their own advancement, in terms of their own honor, in terms of their own ease and pleasure. They separate their material existence from God's covenant commands in the Bible. They reduce holiness to some vague emotional idea of consecration, rather than complete and pervasive obedience of faith. God has given us as His church the calling and the commission, the great and glorious task of teaching everything He has commanded in order that both man and the whole of His creation might be redeemed, that is, bought back from all sin and its effects. The Great Commission does not ask for an affirmation of faith without any good works of obedience to God. The Great Commission does not ask for an emotional consecration. Rather, in the Great Commission, the King and Head of the Church and of creation commands that we disciple all nations. teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Every extension of God's kingdom by our vocations, by our service, by our dominion, that is our godly rule over a particular area of life or thought or property, is an aspect of God's redemption through Jesus Christ of both man and this whole creation from sin and all its effects. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares that the triune God has full, that is, complete authority both in heaven and on earth. And He has given that authority, that complete and full authority, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Since it is total authority, it includes every area of life and thought and work. Nothing in heaven and nothing on earth exists outside of Christ's authority. The state or civil government cannot claim independent jurisdiction from Jesus Christ. The family cannot claim independent jurisdiction from Jesus Christ. The church cannot claim independent jurisdiction from Jesus Christ. Business and the arts and science cannot claim independent jurisdiction from Jesus Christ. Every part of life must be under Jesus Christ and in obedience to His Word. And therefore, Christ commands us to teach all the nations to observe all that Christ has commanded us. People today teach that communion with nature replaces communion with God as the source of true knowledge and wisdom. But our Lord Jesus Christ declares that He is the source of all authority over all things in heaven and on earth. And He commands us to teach His whole word to all nations and to require them, that is to command them, to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. If and when we do this, we enjoy communion with God. Then He is always with us even unto the end of the age. That promise cannot be separated from what comes before it. That is from Christ's command to teach all that He has commanded. And the recognition, the acknowledgement of His complete authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ's glorious presence goes together with His omnipotent sovereign power. Christ does not cease to be the master or Lord of His church when He sends forth His apostles to make disciples of all the nations. Jesus sends out His apostles with the provision that they not teach their own opinions, but that they faithfully and purely teach everything that Christ Himself has commanded. The teachers that Christ sets over His church may not put forward whatever they think. Rather, they must depend completely on the mouth of the great teacher, Jesus Christ. And this way, they win disciples for Jesus Christ, not disciples for themselves. Christ gave His church a commission which we are not able to accomplish, relying on human powers and strength alone. Christ strengthens us, He fortifies us with the confidence of His heavenly presence, power, and protection. Christ promises us that He is King of heaven and earth, and He governs all things by His hand and by His word. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Christ is saying, if you want to perform the task that I give you with energy and with success, you must not rely on your own resources. But you must rely on my power. You must rely on my presence. You must rely on my word. You must rely on my method. As you do my work for my glory. Jesus Christ is spiritually present with us right now. He is spiritually present with us every day of the week as we carry out this great commission in our daily lives. The grace of the Holy Spirit strengthens us. The grace of the Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us and helps us as though God Himself stretched out His hand from heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ is absent from us in His body, but He dwells in us and He works by us through His Holy Spirit as we go throughout the world, wherever God takes us to do His will and His work. The Lord promises His aid not just to one age or one period of time, but to the end of the age. That is, until the Lord Jesus Christ in His body returns at the end of history. Christ is saying, whenever the ministers of the gospel are weak and labor under the lack of everything, I protect them so that they may overcome all the conflicts of the world. Christ works marvelously in a hidden way that we cannot see, and the gospel prevails over so many obstacles and so many enemies. Since Christ is all authority in heaven and on earth, we who serve Him as His church can confidently expect that He and His church and His kingdom and His people will have the victory over the world. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ might have said, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Take your swords and slay all my enemies who crucified me." But Christ had no thought of revenge. He might have said, "These Jews put me to death, therefore go right away to the islands and to Tarshish and to other places and preach the gospel to them, for these Jews shall never taste my grace." But no, our Lord Jesus Christ explicitly commands His church and His apostles to begin at Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. He commanded His disciples to preach the gospel to those who cried for His death, His crucifixion. Jesus Christ commands us to make disciples of all the nations because He has all power in heaven and on earth. My brothers and sisters, the method by which Jesus Christ proposes to subdue all things unto Himself seems to human eyes to be completely inadequate to teach, to make disciples, to baptize these disciples, and to instruct them further in the faith, in all that Christ has commanded in His Word. These are the weapons of our warfare. These are our military might. our weapons of war? That's not how the princes of the world contemplate conquering nations. They rely on their weapons of destruction, their guns, their missiles, their boats. And yet these mighty weapons of power are but the proof of their weakness. For if the rulers of this world had all power in themselves, they would not need these big guns and missiles and bombs and weapons to conquer anyone or any nation. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power, can work His holy will by His word. He does not need any force. It is the love of Christ that constrains us. It is the love of Christ that compels us to obey and glorify Him. And unless you have been compelled and constrained by that power of Christ, you will never serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Teaching and preaching the Word of God are Christ's way of displaying His almighty power over all things in heaven and on earth. Today they tell us that the way to save souls is through all kinds of human means. All kinds of ways that men have devised to try to woo and draw people to Christ. And they will keep inventing new ways of doing it. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, no. You go into all the world. You preach the gospel to every creature. You make disciples of all the nations by my power, my way. You teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you in the Bible. We're told today that you can't make disciples if you teach everything that's in the Bible, because people don't want to do what's in the Bible. But God says, you teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's how you're going to make disciples of me. Do any of you fear that after all, the preaching of the gospel will be defeated in this land of ours by all these new forms of idolatry that pop up around us? It can never happen. For if there were only one of us left to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Himself would be a match for 10,000 idolaters. Give us a tongue, a heart that is set on fire by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and an open Bible, and one preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ can rout all those who are the enemies of the Lord, and all those who are deceivers and false prophets and false teachers. Because preaching and teaching and baptizing disciples are Christ's way, and all other things are not. If Christ had ordained that people would be saved through sacraments, through the power of sacraments, then we should do that. But Christ has not ordained anything like that. He has said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and instructing or teaching them in the name of the triune God. The Lord Jesus Christ chose fishermen who were uneducated to go forth as His apostles into all the world, even throughout the mighty Roman Empire, and subdue the world to Jesus Christ. The world has never seen as great a transformation as the gospel has brought to it. God does not need help from anyone, for He has all power Himself. We need people who are faithful servants of the true and living God. We need people who are themselves disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need people who study the Scriptures and all that Christ has commanded, and whose love and desire in life is that they might do the will of the triune God, that they might glorify Him. Jesus Christ did not want to employ the worldly wise. If He did, He might have chosen 11 or 12 philosophers from Athens, or wise people from Corinth, who could command respect because of their worldly attainments. Or He could have found 11 learned rabbis in Jerusalem who had studied for years the law of God, the Word of God. But He did not want such men. He did not want all their attainments and all their achievements. They mean nothing to the Lord if they're not found in the way of faith. Rather, God chooses those who are not the weak, the struggling, the lame, the maimed. He chooses those who are honest and those who have a big heart, courage from the Lord, who, like children, sit at the feet of Jesus and learn the truth of the Scriptures and are bold enough to speak it to others. We do not depend upon the learning, nor the wisdom, nor the power of this world. We do not depend upon all of the trickery that those in the business of selling things can offer us. We do not even depend upon our education. What matters is the mighty power of the Lord. It is the working of the Holy Spirit through us who are unworthy for such a great task as to be the servants and ambassadors of the great King. The Lord can use the most illiterate person as well as the most learned person if He pleases. He sends all those who are His disciples out into this world to do the work that He has given them to do, and to bring all things under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Our minds tell us that this is a feeble method, and that we who are the people of God are a feeble and rabble lot. But the Lord says that this is Christ's way of exercising His power among men, and it is based upon the fact that He has all authority in heaven and on earth. That is why God is pleased to use the foolishness of preaching the Word to save those who believe. We might think, why should you preach the gospel to a dead sinner? Because the sinner has no power in himself. The reason to preach the gospel to dead sinners is that all power has been given to Jesus Christ, and He commands us to preach the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth. And when we tell a sinner that Christ commands them to repent of their sins and believe, we do not have the power to make them repent. We do not have the power to make them believe. For all power lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner does not have the power to believe and repent. The preacher does not have the power to make anyone believe and repent. All power is in the triune God. All of our persuasions will never make a man repent and believe. The power that leads those who are dead in their sins and trespasses to repent and believe does not lie in rhetoric. It does not lie in reason. It does not lie in persuasion. It does not lie in any man. But it lies in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." When Christ speaks, the dead are raised. God commands us to go into this world filled with dead men, spiritually dead men, and to command them to rise, to preach the gospel of the grace of Christ to sinners. And Christ Himself shall cause those who are His to hear His voice and to come forth unto everlasting life. Thousands and millions of His people have been made alive and been given life by the mighty power of the triune God through the preaching and teaching and witness of the church and of the scriptures. The prophet Ezekiel had to cry, "Dry bones, live." What a foolish thing for him to say. But God justified the prophet Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones, and there was a great army of people who stood up on their feet and were alive. Joshua told his soldiers who marched around the city of Jericho 7 times to blow their trumpets. What an absurd thing to blow a trumpet so that a city might be taken over. But all the walls of that city fell down flat without the power of even one sword. Gideon told his men to carry their lamps inside their pitchers and to break those pitchers and stand still and cry out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." What a most ridiculous thing to hope that by this means the mighty Midianites would be defeated. But they were. God never sends His servants on a fool's errand. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to accomplish His divine purposes. Not because of the power of preaching. Not because of the power of the preacher. Not because of any power in those to whom the word is preached, but because all power is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth, and Christ, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, chooses to work by the teaching of the Bible. That's our task. That's your task. We are to make disciples. We are to teach. We are to give to those around us the gospel. We are to try to bring them to learn of Christ and follow Him. And when they become disciples of Jesus Christ, they are to become members of the visible church and be baptized. They are to have the sign and seal of God's covenant of grace put upon them. And they are to continue throughout their whole life to learn of Jesus Christ, to learn the scriptures, to do all that Christ has commanded. They are to learn obedience, not just to some things, but to everything that God has taught us in His Word. The task of the church is to be doers of the whole Word of God and to be teachers of that whole Word of God. we may not leave out any part of God's Word from our own lives or from the teaching of the church. It is not our job to make new laws. Not our job to devise new teaching. It's not our job to make new ceremonies. It's our job to believe what Christ told us and to do it. And to call others to believe it and to do it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is setting up a kingdom that will break down every other kingdom of this world. The wonderful power of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be at work in every nation of the world to bring everyone to bow before Him. Do you see your high calling as a servant and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a member of the Church of Christ? And you see the divine support that you have in carrying out that task and that commission? All power goes forth from the Lord Jesus Christ. And even behind us, Christ promises to be with us, even unto the end of the age. I charge you to be faithful to your great captain, and to do his work carefully in the way that he has commanded for you, and expect to see his almighty power displayed to his own glory. You have believed in Jesus Christ and been baptized and have been taught what Christ has commanded. You believe that Jesus Christ has all power and that he works through the teaching and preaching of the gospel. How much are you doing to teach all nations all that Christ has commanded? How much are you doing to show men the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that they might become his disciples also? To how many people have you told the story of redemption that is only in the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you distributed, if not your own words, the words of others concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christ died for our sins in his own body on the tree. What are you doing personally to tell others of that great work of redemption? Our purpose in this life is not to enjoy all the comforts that we can. Our purpose in this life is to labor for the Lord in whatever way He calls us to serve Him, so that His name might be hallowed by all people in all places, so that His kingdom might come, so that His will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, acknowledging that all power and authority is yours, that the kingdom is yours, and that the glory is yours and yours alone. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will open our eyes to see the many ways that you call us to be busy in your work, in your kingdom, every day that we are alive. Whether it be in our homes and in our families, as we love and serve one another, as we teach your word, as we discuss the scriptures, or in our help to our neighbors and friends, in our witness and testimony, in using our gifts and possessions and abilities for the work of the church and for the preaching of the gospel, or whatever it is that you call us to do, Father, we pray that we might see it as a part of the task you have laid upon us as the people of God, as the new creation, as those who have been redeemed, brought out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we long to see your churches filled